Now, we don't know that we can trust backdoor Billy scumbag white supremacist Hal Turner, who thinks he hosts the most controversial show in the world, as he opens up on his little YouTube video. I think a couple people already got him beat talking about some real issues. But I go to his blog right there, and I'm looking at these Amero coins, and there's no way we can know that this is real. Somebody else may have minted these. But he is claiming that 700 billion Ameros have been shipped to China. That may be possible, that may be accurate, but we can't go forth and say that this information can't be validated. I don't know why he would just make that up, but I could see how he's delusional when it comes to races being, you know, different from one another, and people being less in value than one another, and him being, you know, very, very confused when it comes to the way things ought to be. He's got some good points. He knows about the economic crash. You know, he's not ready. He was predicting at this point we would see a lot of stuff happen around this time. So he has some Washington connections, perhaps, like Wayne Matt and some others. He just has a different world view, though, on what life's all about and who he is and what his role ought to be. You know, he's another maniac as far as I can see. But, you know, he's got maybe little short doses of truth to pull people in. He says that he's been declared a suspected terrorist by the Maryland State Police. This has been posted today. He just got a letter, actually, from the U.S. Postal Service. They delivered a certified letter, and he basically put up his blog for people to read, and I'm just clicking on it randomly. It's dated October 6, 2008, from the Maryland Police Department, and you'll just have to go check that out in his blog if you actually give a damn about that. But we have more important things to talk about.
Hey, Rob. Got in a lot of trouble, actually. He was out publicly having a battle with a judge that went after him. And what happened is a very sad story. Somebody went and actually murdered the family of the judge. She wasn't home. The father and the children were home. And someone went in the house and literally murdered these people. And then he went on the air and said, well, you know what? I had nothing to do with that, but she deserved to die. She's changed so many people's and ruined so many people's lives that she deserves whatever she got to her, done to her. And it's just so cold and so harsh. And then I saw him on Geraldo Rivera on Fox News, on Geraldo's show. And he's just a cold, kind of callous guy. Very intelligent man. But I definitely stay away from Hal Turner. There's something very fishy about that guy.
There's this, I agree. I think it goes without saying.
What else? What else
and you're talking about... You're talking about, let's just move on, I guess, but you're talking about, I just do want to say in my last statement on the issue is that people draw a certain energy to him based on, like, you know, them being very confrontational towards other people, and you put that energy out there. I mean, just picture a boomerang, it comes right back to you. So you spend all this energy, like, trying to, like, attack certain groups, and, I mean, he's invested his time in that. A lot of people have invested their time in that, and, you know, there's a lot of racism, yes, in the United States, but because of all the drugs and all the whack jobs and nut jobs, there is no strong white supremacist movement here in the United States. You just have a whole lot of confused white trash with different levels of organization in different counties and different states.
Yep.
With that, Russia trains to fight NATO. The giant exercise. Source, UPI. It's called the Stability 2008 Strategic Maneuvers of the Russian Armed Forces. They are gaining momentum. On Monday, you have the Blackjack strategic bombers, the T-160s, and the Tu-95MS Bear Hs began training flights with full combat payloads. It's interesting terminology, payloads. Cha-ching, and the live firing of cruise missiles at practice targets, and they're firing off ICBMs. And so this is just an update. It's just an update, and I guess they're building a big road, the military is, between Russia and South Ossetia, so they can quickly get back into Georgia. So that's what we have there. I'm trying to see if I have anything with China. Do you have any health news, Rob?
Always, man. I just found this interesting quote here in this article that you were just discussing. It says, quote, it is not the first time that an anti-NATO drill has been held, but with anti-Western rhetoric gradually hardening after the recent five-day war in South Ossetia, Stability 2008 is an open demonstration of preparedness for a new Cold War. Look at the terminology there. That's nuts. Anti-NATO. Interesting, interesting. As far as the health and wellness tip, let me just take a gander.
And, I'm going to wait for the Alien Wars in the meantime. I'm waiting for the Alien Wars.
Have you seen the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still? That's coming out, what, next month, I think, or maybe in December?
No.
The Day the Earth Stood Still. I watched a trailer last night. It literally scared the bejesus out of me with all the different talk of Project Bluebeam and all the talk of aliens and this potential mothership maybe showing up on the 14th over Alabama. And I'm not into aliens and UFOs. I've really not spent really any substantive time looking into it. But man,
really? Well, you should really get, like, you know, intoxicated off your rocker and YouTube some of these just type in reptilian shapeshifting. And some people have too much time on their hands, for sure.
I've looked into that. No. When David Icke made that statement, I had to, try to look into it to see if there was any type of validity to his statements. And, that's a wacky world you get into there with a lot of people sort of fabricating ideas. And, I tend not to go down that path. I tend to stick with more meat and potatoes issues, you know.
But you ain't gonna squat down and take a dump in the punch bowl so no one else to drink out of it.
The old poop in the punch bowl theory. Let's look at natural news here. Natural news. There's a good article right here. Antidepressant drugs raise diabetes by 30%. We always hear about the fact that it's potentially raising the suicide rate in adolescents, and I think people fail to realize its impact on weight gain and diabetes as well. This is a pretty interesting article. It says the use of antidepressant medications significantly increases a person's risk of developing type 2 diabetes, according to a study conducted by a researcher from the University of Alberta, Canada, and published in the Journal of Diabetes Research and Clinical Practice. It concluded that people with a history of depression had a 30% chance, a higher chance of risking a development of type 2 diabetes than people without such a history. She also found that mixing TCAs, which is tricyclic antidepressants, with selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are SSRIs, resulted in twice the diabetes risk of taking only one kind of antidepressant. So, man, we still have decades of research to do on this medicine, but yet it's being given to the public like it's candy.
Candy. Candy, candy, candy.
Candy's nasty.
People eat too much candy, which fuels cancer. You walk down the grocery store aisles, and you don't really see real food. I don't know, man. Maybe we are not alone. I mean, Anyway, here's this YouTube video. It's got an interesting kind of beat to it. Palin related to FDR, wooyah.
To England's King Edward III, there is something which is very, very important to these people to do with the blood.
Blood, blood, blood.
George Bush and Barbara Bush are the same bloodline. The aliens are coming. They've been here for thousands of years.
We are not alone.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. And no, I am not intoxicated off my rocker. I am probably someone that ought to be. Going back into the other things that we're talking about, we're just kind of like, we're painting here. We're just making abstract art, Rob, as we're doing this. We have like just a huge room here. We're just throwing paint at the wall. Seeing what sticks. You sent me a link earlier to a scene in Money. What's all that about? CNN Money. Let me go ahead and check that out. Cheap oil. The stock sell-offs of silver lining, the stock sell-off silver lining. With experts predicting a global economic slowdown, oil prices could fall to 60 a barrel or lower, with gas prices soon to follow. And I've also seen it mentioned that it could go as low as 40 a barrel. See how quickly they shift things? Here we are talking about gas being 250 a barrel, and then all of a sudden this stuff moves this way, and they're saying 60 a barrel or lower. But then again, I do remember saying a couple months ago that I felt that it was going to plummet between now and the elections. The elections aren't here yet, and it is still appearing to plummet. After the elections, things will shift, and we could see an explosion in the cost of oil. How's that? How's that for an intoxicated person? Pretty good. You should see me at the bar. I can juggle, too, and stand on a chair with one foot on the edge of it. On the edge of it.
While reciting Henry Kissinger quotes all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Henry Kissinger quotes, the Zbigniew Brzezinski quotes, and download channels from the Astar Command as well.
No, this article is funny. It's just like, you know, the meltdown, silver lining, oh, cheap oil. Yeah, but we're not going to be able to afford the tolls and to be able to put oil changes and general maintenance on our vehicles. So, yeah, that's great, but who can afford to even, like, just drive in general? It's not like gas will be free. Oh, gas will be 50 cents a gallon. We'll be able to, you know, virtually drive for free. No, sorry.
It's are we going to have to pay our bills in martial law? I mean, oh, God.
Yes, you are.
No, man, the banks aren't, the debtors aren't going away. They're pumping iron, I think, or getting tasers. I don't think they're just going to go away and beam up to a spacecraft or anything. I think they'll be here with a Tommy gun down your throat.
If people feel to realize that when you have debt, somebody buys that debt off that company for pennies on the dollar.
Good point. Somebody buys off that debt when the bank collapses.
Right, exactly. They're not going to let that debt just go.
Ooh, candy.
They don't write off debts like that. They never write off debts like that.
Yes. What could we do with their blood? First, we train the society to allow their women to strip their clothes in front of men they don't know so they can survive. And the next thing, man, people will just be selling their bodies on the street. It ain't funny. I ain't joking around about that right now. You know, we do see declines like that in economies around the world, and it's not pretty, because gangs, thugs, tribes, people like that run the show. And I'll tell you, these Yakuza are into some real sick stuff, and they seem to have a whole onslaught directed towards the Japanese banking system. From what I can tell, they're in control of lending. I'm trying to get the exact article. It's on the BBC, but I mean, this stuff's pretty big. Yesterday we saw the Dow plunge 668 points. Today I guess it's at 100-something. It bounced back up a little bit. But a lot of people made a lot of money today. They drop it, and they buy it all up. Okay, I want to mention this. There's something going on with North Korea. Okay, the U.S. is reportedly to take North Korea off the terrorism watch list in October. The U.S. has notified Japan that it will remove North Korea from its list of terrorism-sponsoring states later this month. The U.S. earlier insisted North Korea had to allow international inspectors to verify all details of its nuclear program before it could be removed from the terrorist list. That's kind of odd, considering the fact that we've read about them taking the seals off their reactor, and we have this report. North Korea reported ready to fire more missiles. They've deployed more than 10 missiles on its west coast for what appears to be an imminent launch, according to a South Korean newspaper, firing two short-range missiles in the Yellow Sea. So you have the USA saying, they're no longer terrorists, they're off the watch list, and there's North Korea going, yeah, let's take off the seals off, let's start firing missiles off, and let's kick up production. Okay, so something happened here with North Korea, where they entered some sort of an agreement, perhaps. But I felt that North Korea was on the side of the Russians and the Chinese. So I'm trying to get that clear, unless maybe that is plan has backfired. So if anybody's got any comments on where they think North Korea is playing a part in this, let's not forget about North Korea, because we got a lot of other stuff that's not a lot of stuff that's being talked about with this not being talked about, and I wonder why, especially with the history North Korea has and the whole stuff with Kim Jong-il supposedly being MIA or not being MIA, you know, Rob?
They're a narco state, Alex. They're a total narco state. If you look at their gross domestic product, where they get their money from, the biggest seller for that country, it's the export of opium. It's a sad situation, too. They don't mess around. You literally grow opium for the state. If you don't meet your quota, they jail you and put somebody on your land who will.
Oh, God. I could have been born in Afghanistan, a slave, a Taliban.
In the front room, roses in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a touch of repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breeze blows. A crazy lady living in the bag.
Now the garbage bands used to be a bag. Okay, and we're back here on the show here live at OracleBroadcasting.com. We've got some phone numbers that I am now instructing you to pick up the phone and dial with your index finger, although if you have to use your pinky, you can do that as well, as long as you don't make a habit of it. We need to give out those numbers, 866-639. I should almost have it memorized. I want to say 9535.
Bingo.
866-639-9535. I think, Robert, that we just figured it out.
You have got it. Amazing.
You just got it. Well, we were gonna be talking about a whole bunch of other things, and I'm just gonna let you just mention a topic here in a minute here. I just wanna say one thing. Okay, so we got people drinking. Okay, great, they're not paying attention to the news. They got people smoking, American Spirits, Camel Lights, especially Camel Lights. In fact, there was this period where everybody went from Marlboro Reds to Camel Lights, after 9/11 that I just can't explain. We have Big Macs. We have all these things. We have hookers. We have pornography. Tons of it. More than you can watch. We have lots of fast food. I mean, it's not how do I eat today. It's what should I be eating? That's my predicament. Once I get done with the show in 30 minutes, I'm going to be dealing with the predicament of what do I want to eat today. Not how am I going to eat today. It's what am I going to eat today. So many choices. What am I going to watch today? Is it going to be American Idol? Is it going to be 24? And what are these people gambling for? I mean, we're already gambling in the stock market and the pick a scene on the sky in Wall Street, but they're sitting here sticking their ones in these machines. And there are people that don't work, that they think that they know how to work the system, Rob, to where, like, you know, they forget how much money they put in the whole thing, gambling the whole time. They just are so addicted that, oh, look, $400 strike, $500, $600, let's F the ante. We can do this. We can beat the machine. Oh, man. It's just like they gamble with their money in Washington. People gamble with their own money. They drink themselves silly in Washington and, you know, lavish like pigs in the mud of all the wealth that we've given them, and people here are just hoping that their slavery continues to be comfortable. Not uncomfortable, they know they're slaves, but they want it to be a comfort slavery. And, you know, time to, of course, put their little ones into the machine, and where does that money go? Well, it goes to the state of Oregon, and the state of Oregon has set up this thing where the lottery money goes to the educational system, and they're now saying that that's going to be affected with the economic crisis, and the smoking ban begins January 1st in all bars, and that's going to drive more people away from the bars and less revenue towards education, because the way the state is set it up, because there's so many people addicted to gambling, I'm sure this is the same in some of your states, they have become, as they admit it, we are addicted to lottery money. For education. Now, the state. This is how we set it up. We get all this money from the lottery. That was the budget. That held up education. It's on its last legs. They're already closing down middle schools, and they're already forcing a lot of kids to go to bigger schools. It's got to be bad for little girls, too, going to school with people a lot older than them, just kind of cramming them into one kind of kennel, and that's what it is, and that's why men learn to fight, because they're in a competitive realm. It's a school zone where you're all animals in a confined area for 8 hours a day. It's early prison life. It's your introduction to prison before you get to the cubicle or the jail cell. That's all I got to say, Rob.
No, I mean, gambling is a crazy, crazy thing. I mean, literally, we are living in the fall of Rome right now. I mean, people, I guess I could say I got caught up in the gambling thing. I lived in Massachusetts, and a casino opened up called Foxwoods in Connecticut. It's about an hour and 15-minute drive, and we never had a casino in Massachusetts or New England or anywhere near us. We would have had a drive to Atlantic City. So it was a unique experience, and just going down there and watching that whole environment and just watching that whole culture of gambling, you're absolutely right. People are, you know, just so into the like the action of it, you know, the juice of it, the thrill of it, but they're not even realizing, you know,
just for the taste of it.
Yeah, what they're
Diet Coke.
And you're right, states are absolutely addicted to gambling money. And, you know, they pitch it to us, oh, it'll be a great thing. I remember Massachusetts, oh, scratch cards, the lottery, it'll be a great thing. And to see what grew out of that, you know, 10, 20 years later, to look to see how it's the poorest element of society who are gambling. It's not rich people out there playing scratch tickets or going to the casinos. For the most part, it really hits hard to lower economic classes. So it's just a real seedy thing. And then online gambling as well, Alex. I mean, in this country, there's very few states that have laws on the books that prevent you from online gambling. There's a huge, massive loophole. And guess who makes all that money?
The bank. I want to stop. I just checked it. I checked. Is there a Shannon that's listening to the show? A Shannon? Shannon, are you out there? I got an email. Alex, you're not for your race? Question mark. What race are you for? Oh yeah, that's right. The UN racist. She's trying to be funny. She's trying to poke a jab at me because I don't believe in race in actually existing, just the illusion of race and the illusion of people being different. And then she's assuming probably because I'm saying this stuff that I'm white as well. Yeah, my mom is, I guess, would be considered white. My dad would not be considered white. He wouldn't be considered black. He'd be considered, you know, Afghan. And so you're asking that question to somebody that has come up experiencing racism most of his life because his skin tone is not as pale as yours. And so you're wondering why I'm not for my race. You don't know what my race is when I am more about the spirit that needs to stay alive through this crisis ahead. And so she sends me this thing from Lord Macaulay, addressing the USA in 1857 about the barbarians, probably being the Mongols, you know, the Spanish, the blacks, the Chinese, and all these non-Caucasian whites invading the U.S. Well, first of all, Shannon, what you have to understand is that invasion is happening by design. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the government is behind the breakdown of the USA. It's not just some random invasion. And for those of you that are all pro-border and whatnot and thinking that, you know, everything is just about the Hispanics coming across the border, let me give you a little bit of education. There's a reason why those people have no education, kind of like you. Both of your societies are model states. You got the slave Americans, very ignorant, very naive, very ethnocentric, loving their white skin. And then you have the Hispanics over here, which are socially engineered to be animals in their own right when they break down their economy, when the Mexicans, the brown ones, have never been in control. The Spanish white elite have always controlled Mexico. Their game is to divide you two against one another. You both have a central core, a source where you came from, but you don't believe that because you have enough religions and books and TV shows and culture that you and your fellow tribesmen and women have created around you to think that your shit doesn't really stink in the bathroom. When in the bathroom, we all stink really, really, really bad, and I don't want to be there. Anyway, I'm done. Rob.
No, you make some excellent points, you know. Yeah, I think people love to put labels on people and try to, you know, kind of hedge you into a box or something. And, you know, the bottom line is, folks, is that we're just sick and tired of being...
You understand, Shannon, you want to kill me. Shannon, you want to kill me. I'm not as white as you. I'm a half-breed. You're listening to a half-breed. Why are you listening to a half-breed? A no-good mutt Afghan, half-Afghan? Why don't you listen to Hal Turner or Alex Jones? Why don't you go listen to Jack Blatt? They're all white. There's Rance. He's white.
I'm white.
Okay, it's 1929. Let's just have a race war. Oh, yeah, the browns and blacks are more racist than you. I've never got... This was like an attack on me.
All right, we'll be
back
after
that bunker. We'll be... And we're back, and we are broadcasting to the world via oraclebroadcasting.com. We are doing the show here, a half-breed human, talking to a white supremacist who thought she was listening to a white man the whole time, only to find that she was listening to a monkey man with an IQ of 59, according to her philosophy. What horse Shannon must be in right now, listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network? Listening to someone that she thought was a white man, who's really the result of a white girl getting screwed and having sex with someone she married who happened to come from the country of Afghanistan. Ooh, Monkey Man Central, huh? And then, of course, you have this person that pops out. someone talking about 9/11, surveillance society, cameras, God Almighty. We can't have people like this being born, can we, have Shannon? Imagine if other Afghan men had sex with other white women. They might be going deeper into other areas. We can't have that. Look at me. I'm talking about these things with an IQ of 59, about the North American Union, about the destruction of the U.S. economy, about how $52 billion was taken out of the stock market between Monday and Wednesday of this week. I'm sure you figured out all that, Shannon. After all, you're a peer. You're a full blood. You are white. You are Caucasian. You are the angel. Where I'm just the monkey. How did I figure out that $52 trillion? Maybe I just learned it from someone else. Maybe I made it up. Maybe all this is just an illusion. Maybe Hal Turner does have all the answers. Right. So you see where I'm going with this? It's the hatred, it's the anger. And it's people like Shannon that are probably going to go out and pick up an arm towards someone else because they fear they're going to come after them. And so when I walk through the park and there's that woman that'll be maybe, there's a caller in the queue. Rob, let her through. Go ahead, caller.
That's actually a he.
Oh, it's a he. I just figured maybe Shannon may have some words to back up what she is saying, but maybe she'll wait and give me an email about an hour later. Oh, we'll never hear from her. So she's going to continue to be a coward from here. And anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay. I was actually hoping to take the direction of the show back to what you were talking about earlier. By the way, my name is Alex. I'm calling from Florida.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man.
I think we communicated via MySpace before. You're on my list, but I've never called into your show. You just now started coming on Oracle, so welcome aboard. You were talking about wrestling earlier, and that's what got my attention. When you hear something like the NWO come in the wrestling arena, let's say, and there's two methods of propagating these memes in the public mind. One is intentional, where somebody is instructed or reading a script, such as, was it Glenn Beck you mentioned earlier?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, and the other is just mindless repetition. Now, I'd be prone to think it was mindless repetition when you see it in the wrestling arena, but you got to understand, wrestling is huge now. This is something that's used to entrain our kids. You know, it got taken out of the hands of small-time promoters a long time ago with the coming of Vince McMahon and all that. Wrestling is a social engineering tool for children. So when you see something like the NWO come up in wrestling, it's there for a reason, and I believe that reason is predictive programming. You get kids used to hearing the phrase, New World Order, New World Order, confuses them a little bit. They might run into somebody like you who's going to talk about the New World Order, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that before. Yeah, those guys are cool, or something like that. And they kind of discredits you ahead of time. And then later on, the more they hear it, that's predictive programming is kind of like an idea made reality, kind of like with the Star Wars and the Star Trek series. You know, we have the United Nations and all that. You keep seeing it, and you start getting accepting of the idea, and you're like, oh, yeah, I knew that was coming all along, even though you never really even thought about it in the first place. At least the common person that's not even, like, researching any of this stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to add into the wrestling stuff. I remember being young, you know, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, jumping up and down with one of my best friends, just beating the crap out of each other, watching professional wrestling. And we're talking Macho Man Randy Savage, 1988, we're gonna get you, Owen. And then we had Ravishing Rick Rude, right? The sexiest man alive. Let's just go down these mind-controlling characters here. The Big Boss Man, he's got the handcuffs. The Big Boss Man's got the handcuffs. I mean, even Jesse Ventura was another clown. And then there was this period where all these men were running around with dresses. They had these feathers on them. Ric Flair. And go ahead.
There was even one called the Iranian Sheik. There's this little bit of social engineering to the bad guy. Who's the current bad guy? You know, they used to have the Russians at one time were all the bad guys.
The Russians. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's social engineering. And actually, something I saw recently, because one of my friends lets his kids watch it. And it was really disturbing. I come out there, and the kids are all in the room, you know, watching, and the adults are on the other side. And they're in South Carolina, and, you know, the South Carolina team has or the South Carolina State College has a team that has a certain name that I guess I can't say the name of on the air. I guess unless I say it in the proper context, you know, a rooster.
Gamecocks?
Gamecocks,
yeah. You're referring to? Yeah, well, that's not technically, yeah, I guess if you use it in the wrong context, but no, that's fine. No, the actual school's name.
I can say Gamecocks. I just... I have to add the word game in there then.
Yeah, you do have to add the word game in there, yeah.
Okay, well, the wrestlers are using it without the word game. They're going on and on and on about the size of the Gamecocks and all this. And the kids are, you know, you got six-year-old kids watching this. I'm telling my sons, like, do you know what they're watching in the next room? They're like, oh, it's just mindless entertainment. No, you know, it's part of what you were saying earlier, you know, conditioning, you know, breaking down society. Right now, we are being driven towards the lowest common denominator, and it's scary. I mean, you see the young people today, they're mindless, egocentric, and focused on the basis of entertainment. Yeah, it's not going to be too far. If America becomes a third world country, you know,
guys, I'm amazed I know you guys. I'm amazed you're even listening to the show. I want to thank you for calling. This is why. Because it's so densely, like, terrifyingly, like, brain dead in the bars, in places around town. I'm young. I want to go out. I want to be around other people. There's something wrong with that, okay? I'm a human being, but I want to be around real people that talk about real things. And then I go, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful, like, that there are outlets, and people need to, like, start running to outlets like this website and starting their own website, because there's a lot of people out there suffering because they can't find people that understand what they know and see what they see, whether it be a mate, family, friends, coworkers. Those are the main components of our lives. It's who we're spending our time with. And a life where you don't have that fulfilled in a balanced area, it's like a sickness. It's like a cancer. It claws at you. It tears at you. And so that's all I have to say on that. I'm going to add something, though, in a minute about the fall of Rome and the obsession with sports, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's exactly a part of it. If you want to hold on, because I was going to drift into another arena with what Glenn Beck said, which I think is fairly relevant. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, we have a break coming up in about 1 minute, but absolutely, we'd love to hold you over and continue this conversation, most definitely.
All right, well, go ahead to Rome, then I'll hold over. Because this is kind of in a different arena. I'm going back to the idea of predictive programming, what Glenn Beck is doing, because I think he's just a minion. You know, Glenn Beck is not, he's not a player, but he wants to impress his bosses, so that's why he's doing, he's probably just reading from a script, I'm guessing, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be intentional, but he's not a high enough player to actually be out there leading the game. He's just following from a script. You know, what's his name? Shakespeare wrote, you know, and this is how brain dead most of us are. Shakespeare wrote, we are all but actors and the world's a stage. And you know, you have people running around saying, yeah, the world's our stage. No, the world's not your stage. We are the audience. We're talking to each other. When Shakespeare, when Francis Bacon wrote that, he was writing to the elites out there. You know, the people we see out there, like Bill Maher and all those guys, they're the actors. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
And these are the ones that are writing the script.
And we're just spectators, all soaking it in, thinking we're somehow part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
In a few minutes, guys. Got our last segment. Segment coming up. Hey, Shannon, stay tuned. This monkey half-breed guy you're listening to is going to explain to you the new world order and how to manipulate men, even hurt women like you.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
food, your life, your car, kids, and your college fund. They want it all, as well as your retirement fund. They are going for the gold, as we need to do the same thing as well in our own lives. We have a caller. He was about to segue into another area of conversation. Go ahead.
Okay. As far as these actors that we see running around before us, I mean, somebody recently had one of these personalities who's actually a Zionist posing as a Christian, and this person is Chuck Norris. So Chuck Norris is now a 911 truther. I mean, come on, do people really buy that? I mean, it's so scripted and it's nonsense. You know, like, oh yeah, now things are going to get better because Chuck Norris is a 911 truther. Now we're going to get justice in the 911. You know, 7 years after the fact, or maybe 8 years after the fact.
Oh yeah, I've been listening a couple of years. Oh yeah, I know. I heard Chuck on Alex's show. Oh yeah, I listen. Yeah, it's been years. I do a TV show. I'm a Walker, Texas Ranger at the same time. So I'm a police state researcher on one end, and I'm also a propaganda minister on the other. And, you know, here's another wrestling type of character that's out there on the TV set. What's this guy's name? The dog?
Yeah.
You know, this bounty hunter guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Dog.
Dog the Bounty.
Yeah, okay. So he runs around with tattoos and his long hair looking like a wrestler, like, you know, running, working for the police state, like basically like a plantation's, like, you know, horsemen, basically. That's what they are in my eyes. You know, they're the horsemen's, the plantation's knight, running out there, you know, getting the escaped slaves. And he tries to be, like, the good guy, right? In the end, if you've ever seen one of these episodes, where they're like, they're almost happy to go to jail. And they're like crying. They're like, I know I did wrong. He's like, well, you know, I'll try to take care of you, man. You know, how you doing? All right, how's your kids? Yeah. You know, they make it all personal, you know.
Right.
Suitable for the whole family as the police state expands. It's insane.
Soap operas for men.
Police state soap opera.
It
with
is.
A rough looking guy.
And then they have cops on.
They show you
cops, but then the cops program, like, they're always, you know, all the different cops episodes. You never really see any police brutality there, do you? So when you're watching all these cops episodes, you know, oh, they're getting the bad guy, and that guy deserved it. But what you're not seeing is just all the, you know, police brutality and all the corruption inside the police department. So you're getting an extremely jaded view of how, you know, officers really actually conduct themselves on a daily basis.
Yeah,
it's a very popular show. People love that show.
Huh. And, you know, they're also cherry picking the most ignorant and the foolhardy of criminals they can find, of course. You know, so
yeah, it's like the Jerry Springer of police enforcement. And I think people watch Jerry Springer a lot, so they can look at the people on stage there and say, "Wow, you know, look, just through comparison and contrast, say, wow, I'm doing all right for myself. Look how messed up this person's life is." People love that show. People love to watch a train wreck.
But they've got it down to such a science now where, like, let's say, I mean, I live in an area where we have a lot of, you know, you can call them country boys, rednecks, and, you know, you've got these comedians now that all make fun of rednecks. And, you know, and I swear these guys, you know, they listen to the show and they're sitting there laughing. They're going, hey, you know, that guy across the street from me is just like that. People just don't see themselves in that mirror, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Amazing how well they got it.
Yeah, it is a quite cleverly crafted program they have running on us right now. I mean, all the way back, dawning from the days of Edward Bernays and, you know, what he basically sort of created in this country and how the elite grabbed hold of our media a long time ago. We're talking back in, like, 1915, 1918 is when they really figured out that if they control just a small handful of the most influential papers, they could control popular opinion. And now this is what we have 80 years later, you know.
And I was at this bookstore, and there it was this book for 24, another brainwashing TV show, right?
Yep.
And it looks like he's shooting a woman as he's interrogating her, trying to get information. He accidentally kills her or something like that. I don't know. It's just, there's not that respectful barrier between men and women. It's just the land of the animals. Just, oh, just people, like, jumping off buildings and transhumanism and super tasers with all types of colors for girls, even little pink ones. God. Maybe we can have, like, switchblades that are, like, installed into our fingers.
Freddy Krueger style?
Freddy Krueger. So what are the plots going to be in the future? Hey, caller, what do you think the future wrestling characters might be? I mean, think about the future enemies. Maybe we can have some aliens or something, some alien wrestlers. Just, they had the Undertaker, they had the Dead Man out there. Okay, they had the Undertaker, they had Ted DiBiase, the Money Man. They had the Snake Guy, Jake the Snake. They had the Ultimate Warrior, whatever that guy was all about. Yeah, that guy was just on cocaine or something, but...
I think it's going to be domestic. I think it's going to be like the off-the-grid guy is going to be the bad guy. You know, the person that grows their own, you know, horticulture.
An Alex Jones character. Alex Jones character with a whole bunch of the craziest parts of Alex rolled into one. The most insane parts of the part of where we go, oh, I don't know about Alex when he said that or acted like that or did this. All that rolled into one, plus some other bullshit thrown in. You can have a character and everything, and he could be carrying some chains.
You could have an Abby Hoffman type character, you know, with the guy with the big nose and the huge frizzy hair, and he'll be out there, you know, spouting off how the police think and, you know, our rights are being taken from us, and he'll be the bad guy, and the crowd will love it when he gets his butt.
He'll have a communist t-shirt, and when he talks, he's not manly, he screeches. So it's hard to hear him talk. So you see the little toy there, it says, try me. And then you hit it, and he's like, I hate the BAC! Capitalist.
Yeah, you can't believe how popular wrestling is. You were right, caller, when you said that. Wrestling is still pretty much the most popular television show on TV. I mean, the ratings through the charts.
It gets bigger.
Well, you know, I think it's not wrestling. I think it's like UFC cockfighting too, though, the real fighting. It's not real fighting in my opinion, but the human cockfighting, you know, just punching each other with the bare fist. It's that too. Because in the last year and a half, all the bars that I've been to downtown, they seem to just, they love that stuff. They just, people just drool over it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's really popular. UFC, yeah, Ultimate Fighting Championship, yeah, it's got a huge fan base.
You see girls watching it, too, and they're watching it, and they just realize that they're not really girls. They're just confused monkey mammals like everyone else with their feminine spirit already taken out of them.
If you guys...
Although they just happen to have a vagina and breasts, but the feminine energy is already long gone.
And yeah, I've noticed a massive push of women into watching sports. I mean, it used to be pretty rare that I met a girl that said, oh, yeah, I love the Red Sox or I love the Patriots. Now, everywhere I go, you see a girl who watches the games with the guys. She's quite quite familiar with how the game works and the players, and you know, they're a fan now. Well, 20 years ago, though, there was very hard to find a lot of...
I saw this drunk prostitute screaming down the street. She was really drunk screaming. She wanted to be a man. She was just really drunk. But for whatever reason, those were the words coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation what they've done to us.
Oh, well, it's going to be a big day for me, guys. A big night. I want to thank the caller for calling in from New York, right?
I know, Florida.
Florida? Oh, man, this whole caller screen's messed up. All right, well, we'll pray for you in Florida, because Florida's insane,
I
right?
Number.
Wait, you're both in Florida. Oh, my God, the Russians are coming.
We're safe down here. Come join us, Alex. You're in big trouble up there in Oregon. Get out of there. Caller,
I'm gonna have a flood over here with the Chinese dropping, and then we have the Russians in Florida. I don't know, man. Hey, we'll talk tomorrow, Rob.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it. Caller, thank you so much. Take care.
God bless everyone.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Merry, merry, merry Christmas.
Is it Christmas already?
Well, I mean, they better start talking about Christmas soon if they want to start selling anything. sounds pretty fun.
See you
tomorrow, guys.
Yeah, see you Monday.